All right, we need our Bibles. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1 tonight. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 23. Well, I put chapter 1 and then I put chapter 23. All right, we'll continue our study on what the Bible says about mental health. Just give you a reminder of what we've already talked about. I started by saying all we need is the Bible in our earlier lesson. Isaiah chapter 8 verse 20 says, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Second Peter chapter 1 says, God hath given us every saved person, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. All right, so we don't care what the evolutionists, or we don't care that the evolutionists don't like the Bible because it doesn't teach evolution. The Bible is right. Evolution is wrong. We don't believe anybody that goes against the Bible or anybody that doesn't side with the Bible. So I'm not going to entrust my mental health to someone who thinks that I came from an ape, or someone who doesn't believe in God, or someone who doesn't believe Jesus Christ is the Savior. I would be careful letting that person alter my mental state. That's just me. You can do what you see fit to do. And then we also covered this. Physical health is never promised in the Bible. These TV preachers, these mega church people, all of those that will tell you that there's perfect health and healing in the atonement, they're liars. They're not confused. They don't simply misunderstand the scriptures. They are just lying because they know what they're saying is not true, especially when they put their eyeglasses on to read their sermon notes. Why are you wearing glasses, Mr. Healer? Crazy stuff. Oral Roberts, his wife fell and broke her hip one time, many years ago, and then he sent out a prayer request. Everybody pray for her that she'd get well. Well, hey, why don't you heal her? Why don't you rebuke her for not having enough faith to rise up and walk? Because they're a bunch of phonies, man. What is it? What is any stranger than turning on a Christian radio program and hearing Kenneth Hagin talk about perfect healing and the atonement? God has promised perfect health to believers. Well, he's dead. How do you put any confidence in a man who's dead telling you that there's perfect health for Christians? Well, anyway, we don't want to go down that road tonight. The best one I ever heard about was one of those fake healers putting on a big show claiming that he could heal people. And yet he's got a woman on up there on the stage giving sign language for the deaf people in the audience. Why doesn't he just walk over and heal those deaf people? That's a cruel joke, man. Anyway, by contrast, mental health is taught as being available to God's people. So here's where I got to be careful, because I can't get to this until a later lesson. But if your mental health is damaged as a result of a physical problem in your brain, again, physical health is not guaranteed. But if your brain is not damaged, your mental health issues, according to the Bible, can be resolved scripturally. Okay, and that's where we're heading tonight. We looked at mental troubles in the Bible. Bible speaks of grief of mind, sorrow of mind, a wicked mind, a hardened mind, a reprobate mind, a double mind, a feeble mind, and the lunatic. We looked at all of those. And we also saw last time a number of God's choicest men who were at one point in time suicidal. Okay, so these things do happen, but those men got through that. They got past that and kept serving the Lord. Now tonight, God does not command what he does not make possible. If God commands me to do something, then he has made provisions for me to do that. If God gives me a command and I cannot obey that command, then I say, God's unreasonable. I'm not a sinner. God's unreasonable. Well, the Bible says I'm going to stand before God and give account for my actions. Okay. I won't condemn God for his actions or for what he required of me. So the things we're going to look at tonight and next week are all things that God expects me to do. And if I will allow God to have his way in my life, he will enable me to do these things. Okay. Now I can say that. I don't want to say you. Okay, I can say that, but I can't say you because I don't want to argue with you. But I would encourage you to look at each of these tonight and say, if God has told me to do that, I can do that. I may not be doing it. It may be a while before I get to the point where I am doing it. But hey, if God has commanded me to do it, I can do it. Okay, so that's the objective for tonight. Matthew, boy, I really got that wrong. First I said chapter 1, then I said chapter 23. It's Matthew 22, verse 37 is where we're going to start. Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Okay, that commandment is repeated in Mark 12, verse 30 and Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Before the Ten Commandments comes this commandment. This is the very start. This is the very foundation of everything that God commanded. And God told me to love him with all my mind, which means I am expected to have access to all my mind, to have control of all my mind, to determine what I'm going to do with all my mind. I believe that many of the thousands, maybe millions of people in America who are genuinely mentally ill are genuinely mentally ill because they have chosen to take their mind and love pornography or love blasphemy or love satanic things or love ungodly things. And the things they love with their mind have defiled and in many cases destroyed their mind. And they are genuinely mentally ill, but they are mentally ill as an act of their will. Because instead of saying, I am not looking at that, which would keep me from loving God, I am not listening to that, it would keep me from loving God, I'm not fellowshipping with that, which would keep me from loving God, they want to dive headlong into the sewer of Satan's defiling sins, thinking they can come out clean. But that doesn't happen. That can't happen. So God expects me to take some of my mind and love him with it, and then grow in grace and take more of my mind and love him with it, and then grow some more and take more of my mind and love him with it. That is something I am commanded to do. Now, if I told you the Bible says thou shalt not commit adultery, and you said, well, I just can't help it. Nobody's going to accept that answer from you. Thou shalt not steal. Well, I just can't help it. Thou shalt not kill. Well, I can't help it. Okay, well then reload, go kill a few more people then. No one's going to accept that. But if someone said, well, I just can't love God with all my mind, why do we accept that in our life when it's also commanded of God? It's like we skip the first commandment and then just preach the nine. You know, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Well, I couldn't help it. I had this gold. I put it in the fire and a calf came out. Nobody believes that. So we've all got these, we've got all these commandments, and we are expected to keep those commandments. But the first one upon which everything else rests, thou shalt love God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind, we say, well, nobody could do that. Okay? Can anybody not commit adultery? Can anybody not kill? Can anybody not steal? Can anybody not make a graven image? Okay, well, then it is possible. It is possible to love God with all our mind. Hope you get that. I would say tonight, and I think this is safe to say, I know I don't know all of you very well, but some of you I do, and I think it's safe to say that the majority of married men in our church love their wife and not any other woman. They don't love their wife 85% and that woman 15%. I don't think we have any Mormons in our church. Someone says, man, you got to cut that out. You got a wife. Yeah, well, but I love my wife 60%. I love my girlfriend 40%. So I love my wife more than I love her. No one would find that acceptable. Amen. We would expect you to love your wife with all your mind. So it's possible to love God with all your mind. But when you give part of your mind to God and part of your mind to murder games and part of your mind to filthy movies and part of your mind to rock and roll, you can't blame the world for that when you offered yourself up to it. So to be mentally healthy, you have to determine who you are going to love with your mind. And the first week that you're saved, think about this. First week you're saved, we expect you to love God with all of your mind. That's normal. That's what we normally see. See, what happens is we start pulling parts of our mind and our heart back from God and rededicating it to other things. After a while, after being saved for a while. But when you got saved, you couldn't help but love God. I just love God. I'll do anything God wants me to do for all my entire life, man. And that lasts for some people a few days, for some people a few weeks, some people even for months. But after a while, see, that heart, that mind begins to drift and go back. And that's when you've got to deal with it. All right. So we are commanded to love God with all our mind. It's going to take some action on our part. Okay. So let's look at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter number 12 and verse 22. Bible says, he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? All right, before we read more, Got any animal rights activists with us tonight? Right here, Jesus said that people are more important than birds. That doesn't mean that it's okay to go out with your slingshot and start shooting at the birds. But if it's a choice between feeding a person and feeding a bird, well, you're supposed to feed the person. And don't kill your children swerving to avoid killing the cat that's crossing the road. Anyway, then he says in verse 25, and which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink. Neither be ye of doubtful mind. Okay, look at that commandment there. That's a commandment. Neither be ye of doubtful mind. Okay, now I'm going to say this, and I'm not your example. Jesus Christ is your example. But I'll tell you this. I do not live everything in this Bible. But I chose 32 years ago to believe everything that's in this Bible. And I'm not going to read one verse in that Bible and say, I wonder if that's true. I'm not going to read one promise that God made to his church and say, I wonder if he meant that. You have to do more than hear a preacher preach the Bible. You have to decide to believe it. You have to do more than read the Bible yourself. You have to believe what you read. You have to do more than quote verses like they're just some kind of mantras from some Eastern religion. No, you have to believe they are true, those verses in the Bible. Now, listen, I've taught people the Bible, but I can't make them believe it. I've taught you the Bible. I can't make you believe it. We've witnessed to lost people. We can't make them believe the gospel, right? So here's what I'm saying. You have to determine, I am going to believe the promises of God, many times against all circumstances. I'm going to believe that God's word is true, and I'm going to stand upon the word of God. Listen, one case of dengue fever is more than I want. One dose of malaria is more than I want. One case of pneumonia is more than I want. But if you had all three of those things at the same time, did you know you could still be happy in the Lord? I mean, you read about people who quit church, they quit on God, and they never look back because something went wrong in their body and their life. And they prayed, God didn't answer their prayer. And so they said, that's it, I'm through with it. Same God, same promises, same troubles. One person decides, I am not going to doubt God. And the Bible says in Isaiah 26, verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. There's going to be a lot of jumping off places for your mind. There's going to be a lot of running away places for your mind. You have to tell your mind, stay there. And I'll say this, and I mean this sincerely, and I'm not trying to insult anybody. I'm saying this sincerely. It is not God's fault if you are mentally lazy. It is not God's fault if you want God to make you promises And then you want him to do everything that he told you to do because you don't want to do it. You say, yeah, but my mind, it just wanders off. Well, bring it back. My mind, it just goes places it shouldn't go. Then put up a wall, put a leash on it. If you find yourself doubting the scriptures, doubt your doubts, rebuke your doubts, ignore your doubts. Don't be of a doubtful mind. You know, I really don't get all of this social media craze that's going on today. You know, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, all that stuff. I really don't get it. And here's why. All my friends are people that I actually know. They're more than just a check in a box from a click from my finger. They're real people that I know. But whether it was so-called friends online or real friends, the first time we're talking about the Bible, and you say, well, I just don't believe that, we're done. My mind does not need to be influenced by people who doubt God's word. I'm not listening to preachers who tell me the King James Bible is a mistranslation. This verse shouldn't be there. I don't want to be encouraged to doubt God's word. I want to be of sound mind. I don't want to be mentally ill. And God, who wants me to be mentally healthy, said, do not be of a doubtful mind. Maybe some of you have friends, they go to other churches. You tell them what church you attend. They tell you, well, why are you going to that church? I wouldn't go to that church. Those people, they don't have the sweet spirit of Christ. They're hateful. They insulted my NIV Bible. You should leave that church. Those are your friends? People that don't want you to go to a place that believes the Bible and encourages you to live by the Bible? Those are your friends? No wonder you're cracking up. I don't want to be of a doubtful mind. Listen, I can sit there and read my Bible, and my flesh will say, well, you're an educated man. You couldn't believe that a virgin could give birth to a child. And I didn't ask for that thought. I didn't go get a book and read a book that put those thoughts in my mind. They just show up. And when they do, I say, whoever you are, whatever you are, you're a liar. Shut up. Get away from me. Jesus Christ was virgin born. You know what some of you do? Oh, maybe that's right. I don't know. I never thought about that before. Could be. Yeah, that is kind of strange. Let me go see what the Jehovah's Witnesses say about that. And then you end up all twisted up and mixed up in your thinking. I'm not fellowshipping with anyone that tries to get my mind to doubt God's promises. I'm not going to do it. I don't want to be of a doubtful mind. Do you doubt things God said? Are you not sure about things God said? Rebuke yourself. Repent of your unbelief. See, people harbor these things. They tolerate these things. They embrace these things. Those things will eat up your mind. You need to take care of it right away. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, this one's a little difficult to understand, at least in my culture, the Western culture. But for all of us here in Kuwait, we understand it because we see people dressed in the dish dash and the abaya every day. And we often see Egyptians doing manual labor, wearing their, what they're called, jibbahs. Well, look here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, so, you know, they've got these long flowing garments, go all the way to the ground in these what are known as Bible countries. And when you're going to work, wearing those garments, when you're going to fight, when you're going to run, what you do is you take those long garments and you pull them up, you bind them close to you, then you tie something around them and you gird them up. Okay. That's what that is. So why do you do that? So that the material won't just flow everywhere and hinder what you're trying to do. So you know what the Lord said? Why are you letting your thoughts just flow everywhere? Capture them, bring them in, tie them up. See that? Society will tell you otherwise. If you go to college and sign up for an English literature class, don't be surprised to find out that their whole focus in that class is going to be on imagination. These men have some wonderful imaginations. Just close your eyes and let your thoughts roam. Every reference in the Bible to imagination is a negative reference. The Lord does not want you to sit and daydream. He does not want you to just meditate and hum and shut down the active control of your mind. He said, get a hold of that thing. Bring it in close. Tie it up. Don't let it go in every direction. Here's how people become mentally ill. So you're sitting there, ladies, and your husband, he's off at work. Do you know what he's doing? He's working. He's working to earn money. And he's working to earn money to pay the bills. But you begin to think, wonder what he's doing. There's probably a woman at work. She's probably pretty. She's probably interested in him. He's probably going to have an affair. He's probably going to leave me. You're probably crazy. Then by the time he gets home, you're about to have a nervous breakdown because he's cheating on you and you made the whole thing up in your own mind. So to help you deal with it, you turn on the TV and watch a bunch of women sit around and talk about how all men are cheats and all men are good for nothing. And well, I had a husband once and he did that to me. And I had a husband once and he did that to me. Men are just terrible. And now you're totally psychotic. And you just made the whole thing up. And then men, you know, oh, I know why she's crying. No, you don't. Nobody knows why a woman is crying. God doesn't know. Lord, why am I crying? Beats me, sis. She just is. Then you invent this whole thing. Well, she's crying because she's not happy. And she's crying because she'd rather be with somebody else. And she's crying because she found out what I was doing. How'd she find out? Who told her? And now you're wacko. And now the two of you are fighting over things that never happened anywhere, except between the ears of the two of you. Come on. So God says, rein it in, gird it up. Kids, my mom hates me. No, not all the time, just sometimes. She's not plotting your destruction. I know why she said that. She wishes I would leave. Well, maybe eventually, mid-30s would be a good time to consider it. And then people come into the church. Oh, that guy's mad at me. Oh, really? How do you know? Well, I tried speaking to him. He didn't say anything. Well, you know he is. You do know he's half deaf, don't you? Well, yeah, but he looked at me. Well, okay. You should have seen the look on his face. Well, he's got cramps. And by the time you get home, you're thinking in your mind, you know, he's out to get you. He's probably telling other people. And your imagination's just out of control. So you know what the Lord said? Stop it. Get those thoughts under control. And if they're not healthy, don't think them. If they're not verifiably true, why are you dwelling on them? Men, they sit around and look at this garbage on the internet, and they begin to think that the world is like that, or their wife is going to be like that, or marriage is going to be like that. Well, you just need to understand that's not real. And women, what do? They sit around, they read these romance novels. Hey, there's nobody taking off their shirt and paddling you out in a gondola down a river anywhere. Oh, there we were in the covered wagon crossing the plain, and my hair was perfect. My makeup was perfect. He wasn't sweating. It was just so romantic. Hey, you want reality? There isn't anything romantic about a covered wagon 6 weeks in. It's B.O., it's beans, and sleeping in the dirt. People are weird, man. Men, they sit around, they watch sports. Oh, I could do that. Yeah. Eat a few more donuts. Watch the game. The Lord said, rein it in, gird it up, get it under control. Bind up those thoughts. We just let our mind go anywhere it wants to go. And then we wonder why it takes us into loony land. Telling you the truth. People are getting crazy, man. I told you this before, they're putting horns in their head. They're splitting their tongues. They put metal studs all up and down the sides of their face. And they pay somebody to put a big scar across their chest. And then they take their picture and put it on the internet. You know why? They think they look good. They think normal people want to see that. You know where that started? It started in their mind. They are mentally ill. You say, well, you wouldn't tell them that to their face. No, that I probably wouldn't do because they're mentally unstable, wouldn't be safe, wouldn't be smart. Any guy that paid to have his tongue split and horns put in his head, I'm probably just going to maybe leave a track where he can find it. It's probably someone I don't want to mess with. You know where all that stuff comes from? It comes from people's minds. Their minds just started wandering off. And then they follow it down some dark road, and then they end up in some pit. It's really sad, though. It saddens me. So gird up the loins of your mind. Okay, look in Ephesians now, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse number 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Okay, so if you're saved tonight, here's what happened. You heard the gospel. You kind of thought it was true, but you didn't want it because you didn't want to give up sin. See, if you're not battling in your heart with giving up sin, you haven't heard and believed the gospel. John 16:8, This thing starts with the convicting power of the Holy Spirit convincing you of sin. And so you go through this struggle. Man, if I get saved, I'm going to have to stop that, and I'll have to stop that, and I'm going to have to give that up. I'm going to have to give that up. Man, I don't want to get saved because I don't want to give up all that stuff. Then you finally realize this isn't worth going to hell over, and you come to the Lord, and you really get saved. And the Holy Spirit floods in, and now you want nothing to do with any of that stuff out there anymore. You are saved. You are going to heaven. You are forgiven. Hallelujah. And that old man, he lets you ride on that for a little while. Your old man. And then he says, don't you miss it? Don't you miss it? No, I don't miss that stuff at all. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Remember how it made you feel? Remember how much fun it was? Now, do you know what you've got to do after you're saved? Because God is not going to do this for you. He told you to take your mind and keep it where it was when it was new, and to not reintroduce into your mind the things you knew were wrong when you got saved. I'm telling you, if 30 people quit on God and leave our church, not one of them starts a new sin, something they'd never done before. All 30 of them go back to the old ones. Well, you know, I used to be a drunk, and I used to be a fornicator, and I used to do this, I used to do that, and then I got saved. But you know what? I never tried heroin. I'm just going to quit on God because I haven't tried heroin yet. That's not how it works. Whatever you did before you got saved, that flesh wants you to go back there. And you will not go back there until you have first thought about going back there and meditated on going back there and set your mind on going back there. If you ever get back there, your mind has been back there a long time. So you know what the Lord said you've got to do? You have to renew your mind, the spirit of your mind. When you first got saved, and I'm not talking about these people who said a prayer at a county fair and didn't really know what they were doing and didn't care what they did. No, I'm talking about people who really got saved. If you really got saved, nobody had to beg you to go to church. Nobody had to make you read the Bible. Nobody had to threaten you with judgment if you didn't quit this or that. Whatever God wanted you to do, you wanted to do it. You know what the Lord said? The devil didn't take you away from that. You let your mind drift back to where it was before God did that for you. And I want you to keep the spirit of your mind where it was when God made it new. Now, I've said this already in our previous lessons. I'll say it again tonight. Before you accept a lost person's diagnosis for which there is no proof that you are mentally ill, have you done these things? If you haven't done these things, you are trusting man more than you are trusting God. And that will not improve your mental condition. It might give you a short-term fix, but it won't cure the problem. So let's stick to the Word of God and get the cure. That's where the cure is. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for helping us to keep our minds where they ought to be, for showing us how to do it. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us to recognize when our old man is trying to pull us away from your truths and bring us back to our old ways. Help us, Lord, to gird up the loins of our minds and keep our thoughts where you want them in the Word of God, to trust your Word and not ever doubt it, to rebuke ourselves if there's any slight bit of doubt. And Lord, help us to just watch out for these things, because we know, Lord, we still got the old man, the old nature with us that's going to try to drag us far from you, far from your truths, and give us mental problems in the end. So, Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. Thank you, Lord, that your commands are not things that we're not able to do, because you are the one who enables us to do them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.